So the next session is a continuation, almost a continuation of the last one. Journey to the Cloud, Microsoft Azure. And this will be delivered by Yusuf Khalidi. Yusuf, welcome to the stage.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me, guys? Good, great. My name is Yusuf Khalidi. I'm from Microsoft. And this talk is about Azure itself. So I was sitting in the last session, a few others. And my goal of this presentation, by the way, is to answer some of the questions you guys have been having. And actually tell you what the thing really is. And truthful advertising, I'm an engineer. So I have some marketing slides here and there, but it's mostly technology. A bit of history. I'm actually one of the founders of this project. 10 years ago, we started the project at Microsoft. It was used to be called Red Dog, then became Windows Azure, then became Microsoft Azure. So I have seen this thing from day one, and it's very gratifying for me to be here to tell you about the journey. We have seen customers go with us in adopting this cloud technology, okay? So, without further ado, let's talk about digital transformation for iOS. Just one slide. There is a revolution happening out there, guys. And this is really beyond just the cloud per se, but the cloud is enabling this, which is a transformation of business through digital means. And this crosses a whole big spectrum here, from engaging customers to empowering the employees of the companies to optimizing operations, production, and of course, to adding value. Transforming products, new applications. I'm going to show you examples of that in a second as well. This transformation is happening. It is happening. Your phone, your pocket is part of it, to be honest. The way digital payments happen is part of it and so forth. To put this in a bigger context, the way we think about it in Microsoft terms, if you will, is around these different buckets, if you will. So productivity solutions, think of email. Think of sharing data and so forth. And there's some product names behind me as well in the slide. It's about business apps, ERP applications, CRM applications, apps that run businesses. It's about the platform, in this case, Azure, which is the bulk of my presentation. The actual plumbing, if you will, that runs everything. I guess the cloud is a nice term, but ultimately it's, you know what it is. Lots of software running lots of data centers, lots of wires. It's about data intelligence, making sense of all the data that all our devices are generating, all our buildings are generating, all our cars are generating, and making and extracting value out of that data. And it's, of course, about security and management. It's one thing to have applications running all over the place. It's another thing to actually manage it securely throughout the globe. To us, this is what the cloud is. And collectively, this whole thing is what we call the Microsoft Cloud. And there are three dimensions that I'm going to be discussing in my presentation today. The global nature of the cloud, the trust aspect, many questions in the previous session came up about this, and of course about the hybrid model, also many questions came up about this. So before going launching this thing, I want to give you a couple of examples of how customers are actually using the cloud today. These are real examples. And they're both, in a sense, transformational. And I prepared this thing before the previous question, but this one is all about medical imaging. This is an actual application on Azure today. There's a problem, I'm not a doctor, but there's a problem apparently with MRIs, where a human that goes inside an MRI machine has to be very still for the image to be accurate, for the radiologist to be able to read the image. We adults can sit still, but children have a problem with that. So traditionally, you have to give a medicine or a drug to a child to sit still. It's not very convenient and the like. So an application was developed to, even if the child is fidgeting, is moving an MRI machine, to send the images, the fuzzy images, to the cloud, compute steady images out of those fuzzy images, and send them back to the radiologist. A lot of computational power is needed to make something like this happen. To take a bunch of fuzzy images, if you will, and end up with something that can be read, diagnosed, and then the right medical procedures happening from there on. And trust me, this application requires a lot of computational power. You're not going to have it in every possible clinic that has an MRI machine. It will have to go somewhere out there. That's an example of an application where new technology is invented and it's delivered anywhere, wherever the patient may be, regardless of the location. The power is in the cloud. It's in some data center somewhere, doesn't really matter. The value is for everybody, anywhere they might be around the globe. It's really about delivering, scaling new technology, reaching tens of thousands of patients, regardless where they may be. Guys, that's why people like me are extremely motivated to work in the cloud. It enables those kind of scenarios. Another example. All our countries have infrastructure, has power infrastructure that is way out there. It's in the back country, it's hard to get to. It has to be maintained. So technology has been invented here using drones that basically can look and fly around this infrastructure, collect data dynamically, send this data way back to the cloud, and use that data through intelligence, through collecting the history of all the repair items, looking at the weather, et cetera, and scheduling work for maintenance, regardless where the actual power pole is in this case. Again, this is an example where you have a local piece of technology, a drone, with some wireless technology, usual stuff, like our cell phones, collecting information, sending it to the cloud, storing it there, doing historical analysis, and then scheduling work for maintenance of that out of this work as well. Again, guys, this is what the cloud is good for. This is a new kind of applications. Okay, enough of this stuff about actual apps. Let me tell you about what customers use the cloud. Nowadays, almost everybody. More than 90% of the Fortune 500 using the cloud today. And they're not just using it for simple marketing websites. They're using it for enterprise mission-critical applications. For example, more than 80% of the world banks are using Azure. If any of you have worked with banks, you know how regulated banks are, how high the bar is to work with banks. Actually, more than 70% of the global biggest banks are using Azure today as well. Some of our customers in the continent, this is just a sampling, guys. I did not mention, for example, some of the customers you saw this morning. The pie is increasing, if you will. The usage is increasing all over the place. So let me tell you about Azure itself now around the three dimensions I mentioned earlier. The global aspect of it, infrastructure, software, the trust aspect, compliance and security, and about hybrid, spanning the spectrum from on-premises all the way to the public cloud. Azure is a truly global system. It spans 38 regions. Let me go back for a slide, yes. Today we have 38 regions around the globe. An Azure region is one of more buildings typically. Some are small, few colos. Some are very big. I'll show you an example in a second. You as a user decide which one of ones you want to use. The policy where data lives, where computation lives, is yours. And we basically do things like we make sure they are paired within several hundred kilometers from each other, so you can do disaster recovery solutions, for example. Okay? So these are actual buildings where things actually run. Now, for you to have a first-class cloud, you need to have a first-class network, of course. You need to be able to connect to this cloud. So we also have a global network that connects everything we have in the previous slide. So I'm going to wait for a second for the room to fill up because a lot of people coming in. It's okay. I fully understand. I like more audience anyway. There's some more seats here, by the way. Yeah, yeah, it's mine. Yeah. Yes, anyway. Thanks. Okay, guys. To recap, we have a global presence in multiple regions. And of course, you have to connect them with a network to get to them. So we have a private, global, wide ADN network that connects all these locations. Traffic basically between Azure is running on this WAN. Our strategy is very simple. If you are accessing Azure between your local device, be it a phone, branch office, whatever, and Azure is one of those entry points. Once you enter our network, you're our network, and we get you there as fast as possible to your destination, regardless what the region is for your destination. And our WAN, basically, is the key technology that makes the fact that the region is all over the place connected, if you will, with the fastest possible, lowest possible latency and fastest possible bandwidth. In addition to the global WAN, we also have a way for companies, typically enterprises, to privately connect to Azure. Many companies, especially banks and the like, want to have a private connectivity solution to Azure. Our private solution called ExpressRoute bypasses the internet. It's actually many locations points, 36 at the moment around the globe, with many partners that takes the traffic from the customer site, drops it to our network with an SLA, and from there on, it really goes directly to their data computation in Azure, bypassing the internet completely. And we have a large ecosystem of partners. Here's some of our partners in the continent. And we have a bigger ecosystem around the globe. I'm going to pause for a second. I'm going to be showing you more slides where there are going to be logos of partners. In Microsoft in general, and for Azure in particular, we're very partner-centric. Because we understand we have to provide you the infrastructure, the software, the virtualization, and security. But the solutions require a lot of pieces, can potentially require a lot of pieces. So in this case, we require partners to get you connectivity to us. In other cases, it's going to be software, middleware, and so forth as well. Okay. So I told you about the number of regions we have and the network between them. Let me show you a very quick video. This is literally a minute of an example of a new region we opened in the US a few months ago. Guys, this is one out of 38 we have. And we are still growing the platform. So when you hear the impression or the expression that somebody says the cloud is infinite, figuratively speaking, if you want capacity, we have it. You want to store exabytes of data, not an issue. You want to do the medical imaging I showed you earlier, which is quite heavy. You can spin up so many VMs, you can bring them down, it's not really an issue. So scale and the global presence is really core to our platform here. Okay, so I told you about hardware and wires and buildings and what have you, but you know what real magic is? It's in software. So here's a very simple architecture picture what Azure is. I'm gonna show you a slightly more detailed picture after this one. In a very simple terms, look at the very bottom box, if you will, in this picture. It's called core infrastructure. This is the basic infrastructure where everything runs. This is where your virtual machines may run, your basic storage may run, basic blobs and tables and files, networking, basic connectivity, load balancing, etc., and security, which is core to the platform. We use network virtualization to isolate customers from each other, and we use virtualization per physical machine to isolate VMs from each other. You may have heard the term infrastructure as a service. It's basically this layer. That's where the basic virtual machines run per customer in the infrastructure, okay? You can use Azure just at this level if you want to. Many customers just do take a bunch of apps from on-premises, put them in the cloud, this layer, you're done. The beauty, of course, of Azure is a lot more than that. So the next box up are a bunch of services. They're all optional, by the way. You can mix and match. These are platform services, platform as a service services, if you will, and they span the spectrum from simple hosting of basic websites with free offers, maybe back-end processing for phones, IoT infrastructure, a lot of microservices and container services, a lot of data analytics, machine learning, big data services, security, identity, streaming for media. For example, last year, all the Olympics in the US were streamed over Azure throughout the country. Over Azure, it was easy for us. And the other services as well. And I'll show you another slide in a sec as well. Beyond that, of course, we have developer tools as well. You can take existing apps and just put them in a VM in Azure, or you can develop new applications, or you can mix and match. So you have a rich development environment as well. And as I will say in a second, the same technology spectrum, the same APIs apply to the public cloud and increasingly to our private cloud offering called Azure Stack. This is a key part of the strategy, in that you can apply many of these technologies also on-premises. So, to recap, we have lots of hardware, lots of wires, but a lot of software. And again, the magic is in the software. I promise you a bit more details. Here's a bit more details. This is an eye chart. The data centers in the network, the infrastructure as a service layer, and there are a lot of, you can double click in all of these, by the way. And the way you run your computation, a VM or a container, the type of storage element you want, the type of networking service you want. And then, a lot of stuff. We have at least 70 services in Azure. The slide takes a while to build for a reason. By the way, guys, I told you I'm one of the guys who started the Azure. I used to know the whole platform. I don't anymore. It's a big, rich system and increasingly becoming richer and richer. Now, I want to note something, and I said it earlier ago. You can mix and match these pieces. You don't have to use everything or any one of them per se. But you can, at the same time, you can build new apps very, very quickly on Azure by composing them out of these services. A bit of identity, a bit of website hosting, some mobile backend, and you can be online very, very quickly. Or you can do heavy-duty stuff, or mix anything in between as well. And to be honest, one, we would want a whole week just to explain this one slide, so I'm not going to do that. Okay, lots of software. Now, it's important to discuss the trust aspect of you putting your data up in somebody else's system, or your computation, or depending on your livelihood, or your medical images, whatever the case may be. So in Azure, we take compliance extremely seriously. We have the largest compliance portfolio of anybody in the industry, bar none. I'm comparing it to Amazon, our biggest competitor, and we basically have much more than that, both in breadth and also in depth of the specific compliance regimes. A bit more specifically, and this is a sampling, not the complete list, you have many of the industry compliance certifications. You probably know all these acronyms, various ISO, compliances, SOC 1, SOC 2, PCI, HIPAA, etc. We have a number of them for the US, and they span the spectrum from FedRAMP, ITAR, to others as well, and these are very strict compliance regimes, by the way, to regional compliance certifications. And this, again, this is a sampling. Different countries, different regions have their own compliance certifications, and we adhere to a number of them as well. And the way we do it, by the way, is it's the same controls, same physical controls, logical controls we have in the system that we apply and certify through many auditing infrastructure. And we have continuous audits, by the way. Moreover, we're the only platform that if you're a bank and you're audited, you can audit us as well. It's a service we offer. That's how much we are confident that we have this system very tight. In Azure, you run what you want to run on Azure. Is an example of behind me here of all the of a sample of open source technologies that are run on Azure today. At the very bottom, you can choose to use Windows Server or your favorite version of Linux. We also have support agreements with many of the Linux vendors as well. All the way up to middleware, applications, management, development tools, programming languages, etc. For the technologists in the room, every interface in Azure is available through a RESTful API. Everything. The stuff we use ourselves, the stuff we give to you. And every RESTful API is possible, is available through different language bindings. C#, Java, JavaScript, Python, etc. Actually, we use GitHub, frankly, to store even our own stuff in there, so you can go pick them up yourself today. One more thing. At least one-third of all VMs running in Azure are actually Linux images. So if you want to use Linux, please go for it. If you want to use Windows, go for it. You want to mix and match, go for it. Lastly, we actually have built part of Azure using open source technologies as well. Okay. Beyond the open source technology slide, if you will, we also have a large, very large ecosystem. I told you I'm going to show you lots of logos here. So we have a marketplace where we have worked with all these vendors. And they span the spectrum from, if you will, networking virtual appliances, very high-end databases, everything in between, to make sure they're tested, they're on Azure, and then you can go and build your solutions out of the system. And this is just a sampling, guys. And again, the reason is simple, guys. We run everything on Azure from simple websites, newly developed, all the way to enterprise applications. The last point I want to touch on is the hybrid nature of our Microsoft Cloud. When we say hybrid, we are referring to the fact that assets exist today on-premises. We don't tell our customers, take all your data centers, everything you have, just throw them away, use a public cloud. That's not us. We tell them we have built a large first-class global cloud, public cloud, that enables you to extend what you have on-premises, to connect to what you have on-premises, to migrate, and to create new solutions. But at the same time, we enable a lot of the technologies, the same manageability and so forth, to apply also on-premises. And the spectrum of being hybrid really is quite wide here. So I just want to walk you through very quickly from top to bottom here. So storage technologies are very simple. You can, very uniform. You can have very similar interfaces for your blob store, be it on-premises or in a public cloud. You can do hybrid scenarios for backup, disaster recovery. You can use a public cloud, for example, as your DR location for your on-premise technology or vice versa. Databases, the same interface, same databases actually run both on-premises and the cloud. So your application can be targeted to a right location depending on your business needs. Same with application integrations for middleware. Identity, for example, it's a big deal. For example, if you have Microsoft Active Directory, that integrates very nicely with a public cloud through multiple technologies, and you can decide where your directory lives and so forth. Management, I'm going to show about this in a second, but you have to manage all your assets regardless of the location. Same with networking. I already touched on ExpressRoute. We have VPN solutions. We have private connectivity solutions because if you want to make the hybrid model really work, you have to be able to communicate. And lastly, we also can enable you to have a version of Azure, if you will, on-premises, which we call Azure Stack. So Azure Stack is basically taking the technologies that we have proven at scale around the globe and enabling to be integrated with hardware on-premises as well. And guys, we've been on this journey for a number of years. We started Azure by taking existing Microsoft technologies like Hyper-V and Windows Server, evolving into the cloud. Then we took the same technology, which are proven, put them back in Windows Server. So a lot of technologies that we have running ourselves in the cloud, you can also use yourself. Some of it is already in Windows Server 2016, by the way. Others will be coming with Azure Stack. And Azure Stack enables many new ideas. For industrial control, for example, you want to have something very close to your infrastructure. If you want to have a small cloud on a ship, for example, we can do that. Or you can do it for in industry, smart cities, and so forth. And it's basically an integrated solution, guys, with a number of hardware vendors that you can use to instantiate a version of Azure in your data center as well. Now note, the public cloud can do things that the local Azure stack cannot do, and vice versa, and that's by design, guys. You want to store exabytes of data. Exabyte is a big number, guys. You probably want to go to the public cloud here. You want to customize something and integrate them with your on-prem mainframe, if you will. Azure Stack is great for that. And there's a spectrum of those technologies out there. And I want to just touch on one more thing about manageability here. So we have technologies also to enable you to manage all your resources, regardless where they may be. I mentioned earlier that everything is available through RESTful APIs, which is true, by the way. Anything in Azure, you can manage yourself. You can write scripts if you want to yourself, you can whatever you want to, or you can use one of our services here. So you have something called Microsoft Operations Management Center and Security Center, which enables you to manage either the public cloud, regardless of the locations. You can manage AWS resources if you want to, or you can manage your own private cloud as well. And using OMS, you can do things like log analytics, very important, automation, backup, disaster recovery, data protection, and security measures as well. So the key here is that when we say we have a hybrid system, we actually mean it, guys. We basically enable you to have the global cloud. You can have hosted computation. If you are your favorite hoster, you can have stuff on-premises. And you can have common technologies over the whole spectrum, from identity and manageability and security as well. Guys, this is basically the story. The story basically is that digital transformation is happening as we speak. This is actually a force that's hard for me to explain, except that all of us in this room are part of it as we speak. We need to engage our customers and employees. We need to optimize our operations and to very important to create new scenarios. And at the very beginning, I gave you a couple of examples of those three scenarios. With a cloud offering that spans a spectrum from on-prem to the cloud, you can then really engage in this digital transformation. Actually, this is my talk, guys. I spoke quickly. And if you guys want me to take any questions, I'd be happy to. Up to you guys. Okay, there's a question there.
Thank you. My name is Lade Araba. This is a very fascinating presentation and also extremely impressive.
Thank you.
I am just curious to know if you have disaggregated data on the uptake of cloud services in Africa and whether, you know, you are seeing any trends with regards to particular industries, businesses, or consumers who could potentially serve as growth poles for cloud computing and cloud services on the continent.
I have to tell you, and I'm not an expert in the market in the continent, it's an emerging market here compared to what we have seen in the US and Europe. So the dialogues I've been having with customers and partners in the continent mimic the same discussion that we used to have around 2 to 3 years ago in the US. So I see the right questions, same questions come that used to come 2 or 3 years ago. And I predict the same trajectory will probably happen as well. And the questions are very similar to the ones I touched on. Compliance, security, where's my data, and so forth. The good news is this. We've been on this journey for a number of years. We have put controls in the platform for where your data should reside, how it should be replicated, and all the compliance certifications and the like that are basically applicable to even to the local market. Having said that, there are certain aspects that we still have to collectively grow in the local market in here. Okay, because there are always, for example, there was discussion about potential regulations and so forth. We have to collectively work on them in the local market as well. So short answer is this. We've been on this journey. I think the continent will get there as well. It's not quite the same as where we are, say, in the US or Western Europe, but the same questions have been answered that I think will be answered here as well. Yes, question.
Okay. My question is as it relates to non-tech entrepreneurs. Non-technology, non-developer. I'm not a developer, but I'm an entrepreneur. So my question is, I actually came for this conference from Lagos and also with my partner here in Kenya. I'm not a developer. I'm not a tech guy, but my business is built on tech. My customers actually never have to come to my office. My problem with Microsoft, but not because I have a problem with Microsoft, but my problem with Microsoft is how do we go from, oh, I need a server, or I want to host my emails, or I want to host my applications, and I don't understand how this should be done. My tech guys come and tell me something one day, and then they change that to something else tomorrow. Is there a service that allows or that Microsoft has that engages entrepreneurs that don't have the tech background to really know what the journey should be in terms of the services they need?
Sure.
And two, is this well-priced in a way that I'm only paying for what I'm using?
Mm-hmm.
For example, we use DigitalOcean from IBM right now, and I see very nice prices, $5 a month, $30 a
sure,
month.
Sure. So I can answer the second one easily, to be honest.
So, and it's helpful for me because I know that I'm only paying for what I'm using.
Of course, of course.
So I have 45,000 users on my platform.
No, don't worry about
maybe
that.
Maybe I have a million.
So
yes. What's that journey like?
So in Azure, you have the whole spectrum from pay-as-you-go, from free offers, like, for example, websites and mobile backend, we have free offers there. Pay-as-you-go to what you need, all the way to enterprise agreements. Okay, so the spectrum is quite wide, actually. So if you are a startup, an entrepreneur, if you are, and you want to go and try it, we have free offers as we speak right now. Please go try it right now. So azure.com, just go there, okay? You get free offers as we speak. There's MSDN benefits and the like, all the way to, as I mentioned, pay-as-you-go, credit card, et cetera, all the way to enterprise agreements for the bigger ones in the room, if you will. For the first part of the question, there was a keynote this morning by Tony. You may have seen some of it. We have a number of programs, some are also for the content in particular, to encourage smaller companies and so forth. And offline, I can show you all the logos, if you will, and all the programs which you can follow up as well on. But we discussed this one a bit in the morning as well.
Yeah. Hello. I'm Jesse. I'm a developer. I use PHP to do my development. So I was looking at Azure right now. You've indicated that you have support for web frameworks, but I would like to know, because so far the only frameworks that have been indicated clearly that are supported are ASP and Node. So for PHP, PHP has numerous frameworks.
Sure.
So I'd like to know whether there's a way you've made sure that all these frameworks or majority of them are supported.
I will offline show you on GitHub where everything resides. Okay. But basically, most of these frameworks exist in some form or the other one as well. And I can reach with you offline as well. Easy.
Thank you.
Hi. You talked a lot about the wide range of compliance that you have
yes.
in Azure. I'm just wondering how you deal with conflict between the different compliances. Where there is, in fact, conflict. For example, I believe that European Union privacy laws versus the US privacy laws are actually indirect.
Sure. So, good question. So, as you notice, I showed you a global map which showed 38 regions. If you double-click on that, we actually have sub-clouds in this big cloud. So, specifically, the German cloud is a separate entity managed by a separate German entity to follow the local German laws. Similarly for the China cloud. Also, we have a specific government cloud in the US as well. Those are in cases where there were very strict regulation for certain data types, if you will. Otherwise, the public cloud at large is where the majority is, has all the compliance certification I told you about. And for that, they apply equally as well. So a bit of history, actually. When we started the project, we initially thought we were going to be building few big mega hubs, if you will, and we'll be done. Of course, that's not the case. So we have specialized them when we needed to, and otherwise we invest quite a bit in the public side with connectivity between them as well. And again, this is similar to the gentleman, I mean, in a sense, I'm going to give you the same answer I give the other gentleman. Azure is a big, wide spectrum of things, from, you know, ask about PHP for website hosting all the way to specific government, specific clouds as well.
Thank you, Yusuf. Unfortunately, I have to...
Done.
...to end this session now. Because we're running dangerously behind schedule. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Big round of applause.